You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat, where baseball meets Broadway. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you for the Broadway Podcast Network. Tonight is one of those shows where I think you'll fully be able to tell just how excited I am to welcome our special guest of the Batter's Box. Her career in show business goes back to when she was 13, and ever since she's become a favorite through her performances in Father of the Bride, According to Jim, Nashville, Two and a Half Men, and of course this holiday season, she's returning to the role of Claire in The Christmas Chronicles 2, which is now streaming on Netflix. And throughout the rest of this month, you can also catch her in re-airings of A Nashville Christmas Carol, which just dropped in November on Hallmark. And in addition to all this, she's a New York Times best-selling author. And as you all know, I'm always a big fan of our hitters who are just as amazing off-screen as they are on it. And with that being said, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Kimberly Williams-Paisley. Kim, welcome to Break a Bat.
Oh my gosh, Al, that was a fantastic intro, first of all. Second of all, I love your use of metaphor. Fantastic. You got the marquee, you got the bat, you got home plate, you got Broadway, you got baseball. It has everything you could ever want.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I do want to clear something up with you because, you know, we were talking earlier, you're a New Yorker and your husband Brad's from West Virginia. But there's word out there that the Paisleys are the biggest Dodgers fans in Nashville. How does that happen?
We are. Look, I was brought up a Yankee fan. And then, I mean, the Dodgers used to be New York, so it's kind of like the same thing, right?
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I love the Dodgers. Who doesn't? I mean, do you not love the Dodgers?
They're my favorite National League team. I like the Dodger Blues. Soft spot in my heart for California, so I hear you there.
I lived in LA for about 15 years, so there's that. Second of all, we've gotten to know the players a little bit. Some of the players, they've been to our house. We've actually played dodgeball with some of them. And, you know, so I trust them because they played dodgeball where they were on the opposing team to my two young kids and nobody went to the hospital. So I have an affinity for these guys.
And, you know, I saw you had the cardboard cutout in Dodger Stadium this year. I know you couldn't physically see it at the ballpark, but it's like in some ways you were part of their championship season.
We felt that way. And it was so funny watching those games. And then we just freeze it and look at our cardboard cutouts who really should have shown more enthusiasm. Eric, I felt a little stiff, to be honest.
You know, I mean, listen, you can't physically be there, but, you know, I hope in some ways they, you know, they consider sending you a World Series ring. Maybe your buddy Clayton Kershaw has some pull on that front.
Oh, we'll ask him. We have plenty of jerseys. I think that's about as much as we're going to get. We do have some of Clayton's ping pong paddles from his ping pong tournament that he does.
Awesome. Real game.
That counts.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
We need like a World Series win ping pong paddle. That would be ideal.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know what? I think that the ring especially would, you know, glisten quite nicely off of that like Christmas tree that you have behind you there.
And sure, that would be great. Sure. You want to ask him for me? You can maybe put in the request.
All right. Yeah, I'll see if I have some pull. And, you know, it's funny. It's like we're only about a year into this podcast, but I feel like, you know, for our folks at home, this has sort of become like a holiday tradition chatting with one of the Williamses or so. I'm just so glad you could be here.
I love it. Of course, you're referencing my lovely sister, Ashley. I need to go listen to that episode you guys did, but she adores you.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, I love those live streams that the two of you are doing on Instagram. It just seems like you're having the best time despite everything that's going on this year.
We're having so much fun and I miss her so much. We're really close and she's in Canada and there's no way we're going to see her, obviously, for the holidays. So it's really been nice to catch up on Instagram Live. I love it. Yeah.
And how are things in Nashville right now at the, you know, the Williams Paisley house as we get ready for Christmas?
Things are good. It's going to be a small group this year. So we decided to go big with the decorations. So we're playing against it, against what you might expect. And and I said to Ash, it's like Christmas threw up all over the farm here where we live. And we've got Christmas trees up. I've got my kids' artwork up that I pull out every year. One of them looks a little phallic over there. I think it was like his foot. It's supposed to be a reindeer. I think it was like he used his foot and then his two hands to be like reindeer antlers. But I remember at the time when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to go in the back row. But yet it appears every single year.
Did we already have the family screening of the Christmas Chronicles too?
We did. We screened it. It came out over Thanksgiving, so we all watched it together. And yeah, it's so fun. The original came out 2 years ago. And Kurt Russell is just like the perfect Santa. Have you seen the film?
I've seen both of them and I love
them. Oh, great. Well, isn't he the best Santa ever? He's like a badass, like rock and roll Santa, you know? It's sort of what I love about these movies is they're kind of like action movies, but then at the heart, they've got this great family story. And so it's been really fun for me to be a part of it and to have my kids like the movie and want to see the second one. And unfortunately, we couldn't do the premiere, but the premiere for the first one was just so much fun. They had hot chocolate and they had hot chocolate with the foam that they put everybody's, like they put elves in the foam and just all the characters. And it was just really cool. And so there was none of that, but we did have some popcorn on my couch. So we celebrated in a different way.
That's a pretty good substitute. I take that any day.
Yeah.
And now how about as far as the Nashville Christmas Carol? Did you shoot that during the pandemic? You obviously didn't have to go too far because I know that you live in those neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's what was so great about it is they called and they said, we're just filming in town. Do you want to come do a few days? And I said, yeah, sure. And they were, you know, it was during the pandemic. So everyone was wearing masks and we were tested every single day. And, you know, it was safely done. So I felt good about it. And yeah, it's a Nashville country take on the Dickens classic Christmas Carol. So yeah, I love Christmas movies. I love Christmas time. And I think especially after this year that we've had, it's just really cool to be a part of festivities and, you know, making people feel better and just, you know, offering some holiday cheer.
Yeah, absolutely. Does it feel like you're a long ways from New York? Because I mean, obviously, you know, no better time of year here in the Big Apple than the holidays. It's certainly a little bit different this year, but does it feel like you're a long ways from home being where you are?
It does. I love New York and I miss it so much. My dad's there. And so of course I haven't seen him since March and I miss him so much. And I wish I could just like go by and stand on his front stoop and wave, you know, but he's older. And so he's staying in and being really careful, but I do feel far away. And also culturally, the South is very different from New York. You know, they're both great in their own ways. But I was just saying to Huck, actually, my son the other day, who loves New York along with me, that I just can't wait to go back to the city and go to a bunch of shows and just, you know, walk around. And especially this time of year, it's such a great place to be. I mean, are things dressed up? Is like Rockefeller Center up and everything? Yeah.
Wow. It is. I haven't gone to see it myself yet. Obviously, you know, you avoid the crowds where you can. But you know, they have the whole Bryant Park, Winter Village and whatnot, which is a nice little staple. But it's different. And, you know, all things considered, I hope that, hey, maybe this time next year we'll be in a better place.
I hope so. Yeah. Now, I love New Yorkers, though. I love the spirit of New York. I love the mix of people, and I love how many people you can encounter in a single trip outside, you know, for a walk or a trip to the store. I just love the spirit of New York.
Yeah, it's so special.
Do you feel like it's changed a lot in the past year?
Well, since COVID, certainly. But, yeah. You know, I do think that, you know, I was reading this this piece that Jerry Seinfeld wrote in response to...
I read that.
Some journalists in Florida wrote that New York is dead. Yeah. We're on pause. That's how I think that we all have to believe that. And I think collectively in the back of our minds, we all know that. And that's providing us the hope that we need to get through this. I mean, because that's the only way you're going to make it through in one piece, especially mentally right now, because it's a challenge in a lot of ways.
I love that article. Yeah, I love that essay that he wrote. He was such a New Yorker in that essay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
He was wearing the flag for us.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And, you know, you grew up not far outside the city. Now, you know, you mentioned that you love theater. Was that sort of your introduction into the performing world? Was it going to see those Broadway shows?
It was. I remember my grandma took me to see Peter Pan when I was really, really young. And I think that was the first Broadway show I ever saw. And then I remember seeing A Chorus Line and Cats and these musicals. It was really musicals, even though I'm not a singer, but I was a dancer. And I just loved going to musicals. And there's just something so magical. And I got to be on Broadway, which was amazing. It was like a dream come true to get to participate in it. But yeah, I think so. I think growing up in Manhattan, just outside of Manhattan, really. And of course, I auditioned for commercials and had an agent in New York City. So I spent a lot of time doing that when I was younger. As you said, I was 13. You did your research.
We try our best. And, you know, I certainly have to say that, you know, listen, it's pretty obvious from that intro. I'm a big fan of your work and Father of the Bride, especially. You know, we grew up in a very big Steve Martin household. And, you know, in addition to what you've done this year on the Christmas front, I have to say, the Father of the Bride 3-ish Zoom call that you did and you put out as like an actual production, that was absolutely brilliant. I loved it.
Thank you. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you saw it. And yeah, that was such a wonderful surprise that never would have come about if it hadn't been for the pandemic. Nancy Myers was stuck at home and starting to get really anxious and just said, I want to do something, and decided to pull us all together for this fundraiser for World Central Kitchen. And she pulled it off in Nancy Myers, true Nancy Myers fashion, and, you know, and decorated my new kitchen that I had just built, sent me like dishes and plates and everything I could possibly need. So now I have a Nancy Myers kitchen, and wrote the script and got Robert De Niro to participate and Ben Platt, you know, and just like amazing actors. And it was so fun to be a part of this like surprise job in the middle of it all.
Now, is there any chance we lose the ish in the title and get a full-on third film, or you think it was just a one-off?
I don't know. I think when Nancy was asked about that, she said she was tired. I think doing the Zoom version was exhausting. It was a lot of work. And it was like a full week of shooting, not to mention weeks of prep and all this. It was like a real shoot. And I think that she was just happy to have executed that. But, her response has been maybe. So we'll see. I think that'd be fun one day if they came up with a good story.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because, there's such an emphasis now on nostalgia and reboots and whatnot. And my take on it is if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. Don't just do it for the sake of doing it. I love Arrested Development, for example.
Yeah.
I don't think that they needed to reboot it. I wasn't crazy about it at all. So there's a nuance to it that I think they really need to master.
And I think Nancy knows that. So she wouldn't do it unless everybody was on board, and she'd have to get a lot of people on board. So we'll see. But fans ask me about that all the time.
And how surreal was that for you, being a young kid going through that in the grand scheme of things? You were all of 18, 19 years old, when you got the part. Like, do you think that that kind of like conditioned you for, this life that you've had since in show business?
It did. It was like being shot out of a cannon. I was 19 and I was in school at the time and I dropped out of college. And, I remember my first day, Steve Martin telling me, I asked him if he had advice and he said, "Welcome to Hollywood. You're going to need a good therapist." And that was like so true. And thank you to my therapist. but he was explaining everything to me like, okay, we got that scene. Now they just said turning around. That means you have an hour off. So go to your trailer, and Nancy and Charles were great too. And they treated me like their daughter and really, took care of me there, but it was also a lot of pressure at that age. So I had to learn fast and I had to be brave, but it was fun.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite project that you've gotten to work on, Kim?
They're all my favorite. They're like all my babies in different ways. I've gained like great friendships from some or great experiences from others. Certainly Father the Bride is among the top just because that's hard to beat. It's such a classic film and it's one of those that people still talk to me about today. So the lasting power of that movie is huge. And there were so many amazing adventures within that, those two projects. Getting to do like the NBC miniseries 10th Kingdom. I have a lot of people talk to me about that still today. That had a long staying power. And for that one, I would say the best thing I got out of it was being able to travel through Europe for 6 months and live like a gypsy kind of thing. I live in Europe for 6 months and that was a blast. So, every single one has led to something new.
Now, one that I did love, and I didn't think I would because it's not my typical genre. I have to say, leading up to our chat tonight, I did catch the first episode of Heartstrings, which, I mean, the song Jolene is obviously fantastic, but that was a good one to watch too.
Oh, great. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, that was a blast. I love doing that one. Julianne Hough is amazing. And Dolly Parton, of course, she's angelic and amazing. And, her staying power is incredible. And she's so giving. I love her book program, how she sends books to kids. And I love that she put $1 million into the Moderna vaccine. She's just investing in really great, important things. And then still performing and acting and singing and creating. So she's incredible. It was really a pleasure to work with her.
And, you talk about, doing things of that nature. I think what you and your husband have done with the store is so wonderful. Can you tell the folks at home a little bit about that initiative that, you're doing in the Nashville area?
Yeah, thank you for asking. This is this has been our passion project for years now, and it just so happened that it all came together just as the need began to rise. We opened just like a week before some tornadoes hit Nashville and then the pandemic. So we are a free referral-based grocery store in Nashville. And our idea was modeled after something we saw in Santa Barbara, California, called Unity Shop. And the idea is that it's not a handout, it's a grocery store. So people can come into the store and they can make choices for their family in a dignified way. So I grew up, my mother did Meals on Wheels, and we used to go to food banks and we'd dole out peas and mashed potatoes on people's plates. And I remember seeing how resentful they were. And it surprised me that people weren't like grateful, you know, and I just had so much to learn in that area. And this is a totally different model. We want people to be able to, as I said, just like choose what they want. And we want their kids to see their parents in a position of power rather than having to just receive a handout. So that was the idea initially. Of course, then the pandemic hit and now people can't come into the store like we wanted because we want to keep everybody safe, but we have pivoted and we're offering meals to the elderly, to homebound seniors, and we're doing curbside pickup and people still have some amount of choice, but of course, not as much as we'd like for them to have. But that's what we're doing now. We've served over three quarters of a million meals since we started in March. And we're serving like five times more people than we ever anticipated we would at this stage. But the outpouring of support has been huge. And we're just so grateful for the people, for donors and people who've stepped up. And as I said, the need has risen greatly. We've got probably about a million Tennesseans who are food insecure, which means they don't know where their next meal is coming from. And there are about 50 million people in the United States who don't know where their next meal is coming from, which is really a frightening statistic.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And I, like I said, I'm so impressed that there's folks like you in show business who, you know, are making, you know, taking on these types of initiatives. And we'll certainly give the folks at home a link in our episode description where they can find
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that'd be great. It's thestore.org. Thank you.
Of course. And, you know, before we play Fastball Derby, I got to know, because, you know, you said the term passion projects before, and I know how much you love theater. When we're on the other end of this thing, would Kimberly Williams Paisley ever consider doing some Broadway again?
Yeah, maybe someday. Sure, why not? I was in the Alfred Uhry play last night of Ballyhoo, and I loved that lifestyle for a finite amount of time. I don't know how people do it for years on end. I admire them so much, and I shout out to those actors out there who are out of work right now, and I just cannot wait until Broadway and off-Broadway and all of the theater in New York can get back up and running, and I know it's been really hard for those people. So let them go first.
Now, in the spirit of our sports backdrop, we do a little segment to wrap every show here. And, you know, you've accomplished so much in your career, but now it's about to get tough. You know, think of it as the bottom of the ninth, two outs, games on the line. Aroldis Chapman is on the mound throwing 105. I'm sure Cody Bellinger has told you all about him, you know, when he came over for dodgeball.
Cody wasn't there.
Oh, not Cody. Have a Corey Seager.
Not Corey. No, we had Clayton, we had Jock, and we had, who else? Oh, Justin's come, but I don't know if he actually played dodgeball.
Okay, well, either
way. You better not be quizzing me on sports, because I'm going to hang up right now.
Oh, it's not a quiz. This is where I'm going to ask you a question. It's tougher than a quiz. I'm going to ask you a question. You're just going to tell me the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, you're a great storyteller, so feel free, you know, to throw some of those in there as well. And
all right.
Yeah, there's no rules. Favorite New York City meal?
Pizza, of course.
Pizza. You know a thing or two about great American music. Who's America's band? The Beach Boys or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
Got a favorite Eagles song?
On a dark desert highway.
You can sing a little bit. All right. So that is the official audition reel for Kim's return to Broadway, folks. So
I don't sing.
You can
just
play that.
How did you get me to sing just now?
I have that ability, apparently. I don't how about this one? Excluding your own, all-time favorite Christmas film?
Excluding my own. I would have to say Christmas Vacation.
Classic.
Yeah. We watch it every year.
You have to binge watch Glee or The Muppet Show. Which do you choose?
I guess Glee.
It's just neither one is on
your... I wouldn't choose either one, but I would say Glee over The Muppet Show, yeah.
Okay. Now, this is important. Especially for our New York audience.
Okay.
Team Jeter or Team A-Rod?
A-Rod.
How come? Don't tell me because of J-Lo.
I can't tell you because of J-Lo. No, I think A-Rod's such a cool guy and he has great beer.
Oh, wait,
El Presidente.
Presidente.
It's so good. Have you tried it?
I've had a glass or two in my day. I'm kind of a Dos Equis guy, though, if I had to, you know, choose
that genre. I know A-Rod. He's a cool guy. I know him a little bit. I mean, he doesn't know me. I know him.
How about this one? Fact about Kimberly Williams Paisley that would surprise people the most.
I can touch my tongue to my nose. Now, your listeners cannot see this, but you can vouch for me.
Oh, my God. She did it. Wow.
Pretty proud.
Impressive. Pardon me while I applaud here. Wow.
Thank you. Should we take it to Broadway? To Broadway?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. That skill set will get you a lead.
Problem is, it makes my lip wet. It's not comfortable.
All right. Now, speaking of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Most embarrassing onset moment.
Gosh. You know, I had this really, okay. I'm going to talk about theater. When I did All in the Timing, the David Ives play in Los Angeles at the Geffen Theater, we had a guy go down in the audience. And we literally had that moment where someone said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And we're doing comedy. And in the middle of this play, we had to stop. And I was doing this like really over the top, like funny bit. And all of a sudden we hear, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And we broke the fourth wall. And like, we were staring at the audience and they were staring at us. And people were standing up and some guy had collapsed in the audience. And it was awful. And then we had to wait while paramedics came down the aisle, took this guy out on a gurney. He was fine, by the way. We found out later, thank God. But wheeled a body up out of the aisle, and then we had to come back on stage, like, do the show, do the comedy. Can we find the humor? Is it too soon to find the humor?
Oh my God.
That was pretty, pretty awful, but the show must go on. And you know what? The audience was really great. We just came back out, and like 20 minutes had passed. There were some tears. And the stage manager said, "You guys got to go back on. We got to do this. We're like not even halfway through the show." So we went out and we just said, "If it's all right with you, we're going to carry on where we left off." And the audience was ready. And we actually wound up having like a great rest of our show. But I never would have imagined it.
Now, on the opposite side of the ball, what's the proudest moment of your career?
That I didn't kill any more people in that audience. No, just kidding. The proudest moment of my career. In my acting career.
You could say it. You know, like I said, there's no rules, so feel free to answer however you want.
You know what? Honestly, I'm going to say that my proudest moment was writing my book, Where the Light Gets In, which was a memoir about my mom. And just being able to, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and passed away about 4 years ago. And just being able to take the reins of what was on the face of it such a tragic story and turn it into something meaningful and hopeful and helpful to other people felt like such a huge accomplishment. Not to mention, I'd always kind of wanted to write a book. So just having that completed, and then it was a New York Times bestseller, and that was like something I never anticipated. So I would say that's my most proudest moment.
Not to stray from our last question, but when you and Ashley do those live streams, I love when you talk about your mom, and especially around the holidays. Like I could see, you know, just your faces light up, and you know, there's a lot of ingenuity in show business, but I could tell how passionate you are, especially, you know, the work you do as an Alzheimer's advocate is just awesome. So, you know,
thank you.
And all right, this is the one that we use to wrap every fastball derby.
I'm scared. I don't know why I'm scared.
All right. Oh, well, yeah, like I said, 105, you know, coming from Araldus Chapman on the mound can be scary.
Okay, great. I'm ready.
What's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I was just thinking about that this morning at like 3 a.m. when I woke up and couldn't sleep. My therapist once told me, turn anger into compassion and fear into faith. And I love that. It's like a mantra to me when I feel like anger just boiling up at whatever, at people out there or people in here or circumstances or anything, try to turn that anger into compassion. And when I'm feeling fear, overwhelmed by anxiety, try to turn it into faith. that, you know, that all will be well.
Well, you know what? It served you really well, Kim. And I'm just so happy that you were able to join us tonight. I think that we need to make this like a holiday tradition, you know, and maybe next year, like, you know, around December, we'll bring you on, we'll bring Ashley on, and, you know, the three of us will have a big Christmas party
once
we're
out of the
pandemic, right?
That'd be a blast. I'd love it. Do you have a Christmas tree up?
Confession, I don't.
Are
I
you
live
Jewish?
In... No, I'm Italian. You couldn't tell from my last name.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's Jewish Italians. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. There are some pizza bagels out there, but you know what? It is actually so, not to stray, but I'm in a studio apartment right now. It's not the most festive scene in the world, but I'm certainly watching, you know, my share of Christmas movies,
like
Christmas Chronicles and Nashville Christmas Carol, and playing my Christmas music. But yeah, it's certainly not as nice as the Williams Paisley tree that you have in the corner that the audience can't see. But if you follow us on Instagram, you'll probably be able to see a screenshot or two from this episode. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was so good to talk to you, Al.
It was such an honor, Kim. And, you know, for the folks at home, thank you so much for listening tonight. That'll close out the ball game here on Break a Bat. This is Al Malafronte signing off for the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.